The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
How do you do there? Welcome on into ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
On this little Buckaroo Sundown Showdown, we got comedy podcasts. This is a comedy podcast. It's on the internet. Cowboys do be using the internet, and when they do, they like to leave reviews of things like horseshoes, 10-gallon hats. And around here, we'd be making fun of those little cowboys, because everybody knows you get the best 10-gallon hats. Down from Ricky's 10-gallon hat store on the corner of Main and Chestnut. This is not a paid review. I just really like Ricky's.
Ricky's a good man.
Ricky's a good guy, dude. They got the 10-gallon guarantee. He said, you can't fill this bad boy with 10 gallons of piss. It's your money back. Yeah.
That's business sense.
That's business sense, because no one's going to try and fill their hat with piss.
No, hopefully.
Right. If someone says, hey, I filled this with 10 gallons of piss, you say, where did you find 10 gallons of piss, you village pariah? Get out of my store. And that's as simple as that. No money, you know, you never have to pay him back. Matt, I have a review.
Yeah, what for?
Morbius. From Amazon, by Jared Leto. Maybe we're a little bit behind the curve on this little meme here, okay? Making Morbius jokes is cool, what, a month ago?
If there's a curve, there's no better place to be than behind it. Know what I mean?
Exactly. Nodding. but I thought, you know, the joke was too much to have its own meme and meme reviews. I'm not going to watch and review that movie. So okay. Let's just include it here. Or I don't even want to do the research to find out if it's truly a meme review. The movie itself is more of a meme than a review.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, before I get philosophical on us, this review is written by Maxwell V, or maybe Maxwell V. I'm not sure the sort of Roman numeral connotation there. Morbius Sweep is the title of it. Morbius, starring Jared Leto as the titular character of Dr. Michael J. Morbius, a.k.a. Morbius, is a masterpiece of filmmaking. The first 11 out of 10 movie to exist. In fact, if you disagree, you're wrong. It made $10 billion at the Moore box office, which was the highest grossing movie ever of all time. It pleased audiences everywhere with its intricate storytelling, deep themes, and most of all, the performance of a lifetime from Jared Leto as Dr. Michael J. Morbius himself. I watched this movie 837 times in the theater. I quit my job so I could watch this movie more times, but it was worth it for Morbius. I think after seeing it this many times, I am starting to see a little myself in the protagonist as well. My wife gets mad at me when I tell her I have the powers of Morbius, saying doubtful statements such as, you are not a vampire, and you cannot fly, and I am leaving you and taking the kids, but I don't care. She doesn't understand. This is the experience of a lifetime. Do yourself a favor and support this movie so we can get Morbius 2 and Into the Morbiverse in the future. I personally bought three, one for the Father, Son, and the Holy Morbius. After you watch this movie, you will be glad you met Dr. Michael J. Morbius. 5 stars.
Wow, buddy, went hard.
You know, this guy was in the meme storm, picking out the funniest Morbius memes to put together in a little review for us here.
He is in the eye of the hurricane with chopsticks just... Yeah, I'm going to take that, I'm going to take that, I'm going to take that.
Just thousands of scary Jared Letos flying around him. Filling him with power.
Should I feel bad for Jared?
No, he's a total dickhead.
Oh.
He's celebrity bucket of shame for 5 or 6 for sure.
Is he?
He's a cult leader.
He is.
You don't know about the 30-second Mars little cult outing that he has?
Is that something with all their fancy tattoos?
There's some with the fancy. I think there's fancy tattoos involved. Yes.
Okay.
But I'm glad we get to unpack what a freak Jared Leto is a bit, because I don't know how much we can talk about the funny Morbius meme review without just being repetitive. So yeah, the 30-second to Mars fan island. He rents an island. What do they call themselves?
I got nothing. The Seconders.
The 30 Seconds to Mars fan club is called the Echelon, right?
Ah, the Echelon.
The Echelon, and according to this KQED.org article, and our. They refer to themselves as the Echelon and are a group that seems overwhelmingly immersed not in music nerddom, but rather a general sort of love for the community surrounding the band.
Okay.
So every year they go to an island, they dress in all white. There's special packages on the island where you can do a quote sleepover night with Jared Leto himself. They play music.
Yep. You said special packages on the island, and I thought, like, ooh, so you get to hunt around for for hidden packages? That sounds cool.
Special packages containing 30 Seconds to Mars memorabilia, unless you count Jared Leto's penis as 30 Seconds to Mars memorabilia. Because I think that one is around.
That's the biggest package of them all.
They lean into the cult aspect a bit. It just seems like a weird kip. They're sort of they make fun of people calling them a cult, but I don't know. It's a little sketchy. But at the very least, dude is an insane egotist, and he did things such as bring a dead pig to the table of a Suicide Squad reading. I think he would use condoms. Hand use condoms to his castmates on there. Yeah, dude's bucket of shame is pretty deep in it. You know what I mean?
All right, I have been educated.
I'm glad you now know that Jared Leto sucks. And I mean, what's the best Jared Leto performance in your mind?
Ooh, Prefontaine.
Prefontaine. I haven't seen that one.
If you're a runner, you gotta watch the pre-movies.
Okay.
I saw the band perform in Chicago once. I thought it was good.
Pretty neat.
Pretty neat.
Pretty, was it cult? Did you get any cult vibes? Culty vibes?
No, I didn't. He was wearing a cool jacket. That was all. I was like, that's a cool jacket. He's running around in a cool jacket.
Hey, cool jacket. I mean, he's pretty good in American Psycho. I like him in Fight Club. He gets beat up in that. That's pretty good.
He's in that War Inc. with Nick Cage, I think.
But even in Blade Runner, he's the low point of Blade Runner 2049 for me. He is just as creepy as they want him to be, but he's a little much.
All right, say no more. Jared Leto is dead to me, just like, you know who? The Egyptian mummies, which is a great thing that I said that, because I have a Google review for the Rosicrucian Egyptian Museum. And I guess, speaking of cults, Rosicrucian, let me look that up. Rosicrucian.
That's maybe a culty word.
The Rosicrucian Order, the ancient and mystical order of Rosea Crucis, also known as the Rosicrucian Order, is the largest Rosicrucian organization in the world. What is that, though? A spiritual and cultural movement that arose in Europe in the early 17th century.
That's funny, because I'm a part of a spiritual movement myself. Yeah, the roasted crouton.
Hey, tasty.
Mm-hmm. We just eat them on our salads.
So potentially cult-like, the Rosicrucians, but you know what? They've got an Egyptian museum in California, so it's all good for them. Israel Connerly writes this Google review. Israel writes, place is mad cool, but mad small to be considered the largest Egyptian museum collection in the West. Sobbing emoji. They don't even have a gift shop, which is like a museum 101. The artifacts are great, and they have buttons you push to have the room speak to you, or you can do an audio self-guided tour. Either way, it's really cool. You can see everything in 2 hours or less. 1 hour if you say forget the tour. Make sure to pay respects to the mummy and stolen goods. Very family friendly, gorgeous building inside and out, 5 stars.
So homie was just mad there was no gift shop, really.
Right, I'd be mad too.
What sort of mummy related memorabilia are we missing here?
Books.
Books.
Coloring books.
You get to cut. Well, maybe, you know, mummy coloring books might not be so exciting. There'd be a lot of white.
I guess that's true. You can make your mummy whatever color you want.
That's true. Rainbow mummy, that would be very cute.
I want like one of those moo sticks, but it's got a mummy's screaming head on the top. So it's like a screaming mummy. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should contact them. Say, hey, we might set up a little mum shop next door. What do you guys think about it? Some ideas.
You know, all due respect to your strange cult with stolen goods, we'd like some of the action too.
We would be like the what are those two, the two brother, the Weasleys from Harry Potter who start their little joke shop.
Yes,
we'd be like them, except of with mummy goods, and
George and his dead brother, right?
Yeah, George. One's dead. Fred and George. Yeah, that's Fred definitely and George. Yeah, we'd be like them, except one of us wouldn't be dead. And we really wouldn't be passionate about our product. We would just have good ideas and want to make money.
Yeah, that's half the battle.
We're passionate about the dollar bills. We got a mummy here wrapped up in hundreds.
Ooh, he's fancy boy.
Fancy boy. Like one of those suits that are dollar bill texture, except the mummy wrapped in money. That's how I'm trying to go out. Mummify me in $100 bills. That would be baller.
Put that in a museum.
Mummy, I'd be too scared to go to a mummy museum, though, maybe.
I was kind of scared way back when I was younger, and I went to the Field Museum in Chicago, and they had the area, like, the mummy stuff's it's in the basement, but there's one section where, like, there's a window in the floor, and you look down, and I... Probably not good mic etiquette because I just looked down. You look down through the window and you see the mummy there below you, like the same one that you can go see at eye level, but it's just you're standing above it. And I thought about it. I don't want to fall into the mummy too.
Yeah, they're always like, oh, look at how perfectly reserved they are. Not really, bro.
A little dusty.
We kind of look like a little scary zombie person. I don't know what your idea of reserved is. I'd hate to eat a steak at your house. Who knows how long that's been sitting in there?
It's perfect. Look at the desiccation.
Mummifying a steak, that's just sous vide, right? It's kind of the same idea.
Yeah. Maybe?
Mummifying is just sous vide a person. I think, as far as my knowledge goes.
We can ask some cannibals, see what they say on the subject. Sous vide somebody?
You ever...
Pretty much a mummy.
There's got to be cannibals that want to eat mummies. You can't bring your cannibal buddy to the museum without them making a stink, making a scene.
We all like jerky, man.
Yeah, you see the homie fucking taking a bite of the arm. Oh, it's like jerky. Need some teriyaki. I have a review from Amazon. If we're done with the mummy.
Dude, yes. We're done with the mummy.
We are done with that bastard. Amazon.com review for the product Matain Travel Laptop Backpack Business Anti-Theft Slim. Durable laptops backpack with USB charging port, water-resistant college school computer gift bags for men and women, fits 15.6-inch notebook gray. It's a freaking backpack, people.
Nice.
Is written by MGF, my gangster father. Travelers, beware. Auto-eject pocket.
What?
The design of this backpack is the ultimate failure. I wanted to like it, and admittedly, the quality seems to be good. That is where the positive aspect ends. The design is atrocious. Anyone that travels with his backpack has surely noticed that the largest pocket, the one that fully unzips, is a liability and ultimately useless, making it wasted space. It unzips itself, causing a catastrophic loss of whatever is contained in the pocket. Laptop, iPad, water bottles, most recently for us, two bottles of wine. All abruptly eject themselves from this pocket without warning or interaction. The zippers do not have a mechanism to keep them in place, and as a result, they unzip as you walk. It is responsible for hundreds of dollars in breakage at this point. Buyer beware, this is not a good backpack for anyone that travels and will need to use the laptop pocket. For me, it renders the backpack completely useless. I am donating it with a note in the pocket, providing the next owner with a fair warning. One I should have received myself. One star.
Wow. Okay, a couple things now. First thing, if you're carrying wine in a backpack, just grow up and buy something douchey to put that wine in.
Yeah, that is a college kid move for sure.
Buy some stupid chintzy, it looks like rawhide, but it's not, but it carries my wine. Or get some weird little tote that perfectly fits your wine bottles. Go to the wine store. They've got them there. Get some awful thing that serves one purpose, but you obviously need it.
You know what else they could use to carry their wine?
Their hands.
Their hands.
That's a good idea. Exactly. It's free of charge. The second thing, zippers coming undone. In my mind's eye, I'm picturing the backpack with, and they just like, they place one, two, there's the bottles, and then from either end, right and left, they zip up and meet in the middle. Which obviously then when the weight goes jostle, 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 they separate, separate, separate. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just, hey, bust your buddy like a suitcase, zips that sucker all the way left to right, so that it's down, meeting its other little zipper friend, just hiding in the corner.
Sure.
Something tells me you might have better luck doing that.
Mm-hmm. Sort of standard backpack practice.
Usually, yeah. Unless you're just living on the edge.
Yeah, I feel like you're asking for theft as well with the meat in the middle. That is like 50% less unzipping for you to notice the thief doing as they pickpocket you.
For a savvy traveler like you claim to be, you're jet boosting all your junk just straight out in the air for everyone in Morocco to see.
Yeah, there's a bit of a jack-in-the-box quality to this backpack, apparently.
Probably walks around in cargo shorts with this stuff spilling out of the cargo pockets, too.
Oh, you hate to see it. With great power comes great responsibility.
Can't do it.
You can't just be wearing cargo shorts like an amateur.
You're not at scout camp, and even if you are at scout camp, chances are someone's not going to abide by the scout law, and they're going to nick that sweet little pocket knife you just bought.
We hate to see it. Or two whole bottles of wine, or a laptop. Or, bet worse yet, your birth certificate.
A gaming console.
Your grandmother's will. All this other stuff that you normally keep in a backpack.
Yeah.
But what really gets me is the ejecting. The auto-eject as though...
projected by springs.
Yeah, like the backpack is a jet fighter plane. That is going down, and they need to eject themselves.
I don't know.
Maybe the laptop's just uncomfortable in there. Maybe that's really what's contributing to it.
It's like, I really hate being your computer. Now's my chance.
Yeah, like an octopus trying to escape their aquarium place. They're just too smart for it.
Get me the heck out of here. I see daylight. Funk, funk. Oh, there goes the wine.
Yeah, and what? Oh. I don't know. On some level, I trust them, and on some level, I don't.
Well, let's say you're throwing a nice dinner party, and Brad comes over, Hey, yeah, it's been so long since we've seen you guys. He slings a backpack off his back. Got some wine. Zip.
Yep.
Even if he has zippered it properly like the rest of us do, you're like, dude, you biked over here with wine on your and you're strapped to your back? Come on, man.
You are building a picture. Even though you're not describing them, you're building a picture of them in my mind. Handlebar mustache. Speaking of handlebars, their bike has weird racing handlebars.
Yes. They kind of lean forward.
Even though they do not race. They simply race to the on their fixie down to the Whole Foods to get their wine to put in their backpack.
No, no. Take the beanie off when you're at the dinner table.
Nothing like a beanie at the dinner table, you know what I'm saying?
Come on, have some courtesy.
It's a funny, the Landing is the fancy restaurant in where I grew up.
Okay.
And where everyone goes for their prom thing.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I remember seeing pictures of redneck kids wearing their beanies and their suits at the Landing, and I was just like, oof, how did your date allow this, bro?
Because if they were to take it off, they'd have like the very obvious indent of the hat in their mullet, you know? That's a look all to itself.
Yeah, true. Do you have a review?
I do. I got a shorty here.
Mm-hmm.
This is an Amazon review for the antique bronze metal movie reel wall art, brand generic. it is a piece of wall art that is made of metal and it looks like a movie reel.
Okay.
BT titles their review Hobby Lobby Special and writes, "Wish my friend would have informed me sooner. Showed her the pretty I had bought for my movie-themed living room, and she said, oh, that's at Hobby Lobby for a lot cheaper. 3 stars.
I can't argue with that, I guess.
There's a lot there, even though it doesn't seem like it at first glance. One thing I want to point out, maybe she missed a word, but I don't think so, in saying, showed her the pretty I bought.
Yeah, it's. I think that is she's using the pretty to refer to as a bit of a noun. Is that the proper?
Yeah. This is someone who holds their hand out, fingers down. Look at my pretty, and they're gesturing to a ring or something. See my new pretty.
That would be quite something to moon somebody to, as we said in the last episode, show someone your butthole and say, "Hey, look at my pretty."
Hey, get a load of my pretty.
I could definitely see a fancy rich person calling like their dog their pretty.
Yes, for sure.
But this gives the vibes of a goblin collecting shiny trinkets to keep in their den.
My treasure, my pretty.
My pretty. I've got another pretty to collect. That is how goblin sounds.
Yes. But obviously, to know that it was cheaper at Hobby Lobby, BT had to say, and guess how much I paid for it on Amazon?
Oh, true. How did the second party even know that it would have been cheaper at Hobby Lobby? Yeah, I think this is a real two wrongs don't make a right situation. They shouldn't have said how much the gift they got their friend was. And their friend shouldn't have snobbily said, you could have got it cheaper at Hobby Lobby.
Even though they're closed on Sundays.
Yeah, what if they needed it on Sunday? What if they needed to burn that money on a Sunday?
Guess that's the cross you bear.
Yeah, I would hate to give... To get something and people just, you could have got it cheaper here. It's so condescending. You just can't help but feel like an idiot.
There goes all the effort.
Right. Is it not the thought that counts? Is it not the pretty of the pretty that counts? Yeah. Not how many green pieces of paper it took to acquire said pretty.
Boy, you're pretty dumb.
Oh! Let's take a break.
All right.
Tell
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to something a little different. It's been a good handful of episodes by now, but at one point I referenced a movie called Eat the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know which episode that was, go back and listen to all of them to figure it out.
Yeah, that's really the best way to do it.
It's probably within the last 10 or 15, but
or 100.
Start at like 5 and work your way up, just to be safe. This is a movie that I was introduced to. I haven't seen it, but I have watched the trailer, and now I've read some reviews, and I think we're all just... Obviously, a trailer is mostly visual, but not entirely visual, so listening audience, you can listen if you feel like stopping the show. Don't! Just perfectly sync up a YouTube video of the trailer to watch along with us. Brent, are you ready to watch?
I am ready.
Maybe I should read the description of the movie first.
Sure.
Eat the Sun is a 2011 film, and it is simply a documentary about the ancient practice of sun gazing and one man's passage into that world. The conceit, the thought of it is, by staring at the sun, you gain all the sustenance you need. You don't need to eat.
Photosynthesis.
So with that said, shall we?
The actual energy I'm starting to feel is becoming richer and richer. I feel as though I'm just on the edge of something huge and wonderful.
The Incas, the Aztecs, the Egyptians, everybody looked at the sun. Here today, don't look at the sun, you'll burn your eyeballs out.
I first heard about sun gazing just doing searches on the internet.
So my first couple of days doing it, I got really scared. I would see yellow patches all day long.
Now I need to find out why it is, without any other disciplines, I'm 10 times stronger.
Since I've been sun gazing, I haven't been as hungry.
So why do you sun gaze?
When I first read your website, I mean, why not?
And now I'm at a point where it's so many more minutes, 38 minutes versus 2 minutes is huge. The sensation has been
He's
unbelievable.
Crying.
How could you possibly imagine what it could do? You can't.
Even if you pay me $1 billion, I will not eat.
First I heard about HRM. He says he has not eaten. I said, come on now. It can't be that.
We didn't really find abnormality anywhere, except this finding of MRI, which showed enlarged pineal gland.
We can receive the nourishment and the energy that we need directly from the sun.
I don't think that that's going to be biochemically possible.
You feel better not eating.
The food that it gives is spiritual, not physical.
How you use the physical sun to get there is a very highly advanced process.
This journey and quest of meeting all these people has just been unreal.
Can I ask the reason why you're doing this?
I'm still working on that.
If you don't look at the sun properly, it can just consume you.
We're ready to get ready to interact. Steady. A piece of me died when she gave me those results.
Can you show me the photographs?
You can't lie to yourself. I mean, you can, but it only will start ripping you up from the inside.
It could be that these are the modern day pioneers of a whole new evolutionary leap.
If there's just at least one person who's done it, that means it's possible.
All of it is considered Fruit Loop New Age gobbledygook. But is it possible? Yeah. Why don't you tune yourself and find out?
God.
I'll reserve any judgment until the review.
All right.
Let's let the review do the talking here.
Here's a review written on Amazon by Zardoz. In case you didn't know, this is our cult-themed episode. Because Zardoz titles their review, "Interesting View of Con Man and His Cult." Zardoz writes, "This film follows the adventures of a man who is lured into a group that practices an activity called sun-gazing. Sun-gazing supposedly cures all emotional, mental, and health problems by simply gazing at the sun in daily, ever-increasing incremental periods of time, building up to 40 minutes, upon which all of your problems will be solved. And supposedly, one would never need to eat food again after that because the sun would provide all the nourishment one would ever need, according to their leader, an Indian immigrant who goes by the name H.R.M. H.R.M. claimed for years that he stopped eating for years due to the effect of sun gazing. The film follows a man who damages his eyes performing this dangerous and foolish practice. And sadly, the film cynically uncovers the fact that the sun-gazing cult leader known as H.R.M. eats at an all-you-can-eat Indian buffet every day of his life. Before you are inclined to follow this dangerous and deeply foolish practice, you should see this powerful documentary that proves that sun-gazing is a highly dangerous practice. It is sad to see his followers. They have such low self-esteem that they would put themselves and others in jeopardy to follow this cult con leader. Worth a look. 5 stars.
Instead that just puts just such a sad spin on it for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big believer in the power of meditation, you know?
Sure.
I could never sit and explain scientifically how or why it works, other than the practice of focusing, being mindful, and clearing your mind once a day sort of gives your mind a special power to mm-hmm. to deal with bullshit. it's a nice cleansing sort of filter process for your head. If mm-hmm. you know, the times in my life where I found time every day to do meditation, my quality of life certainly did increase, whether for whatever reason. You know, I'm not going to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm sure that's any benefits they're feeling are probably definitely just because they're focusing on something
without
like
any
that,
distraction, right?
Right, for 5 to 40 minutes a day. That's just classic meditation. What they don't have to do while they're doing that is boil their retinas by staring at the fucking sun.
Yeah, that they put in the trailer, the guy's eyes are tearing up.
Just literally, dude, looking at this. When you look at the sun for a split second, I'm like, ah, damn. Ah,
yeah,
fuck.
Not again.
Right. It can ruin your whole day if you look at the sun for a second too long on accident. Yeah. Got that stupid spot in your eye that won't go away. You hate to see it. Yeah. And they're just inducing that. I would go insane if I had those spots in my eyes.
I mean, just having floaters when you sometimes mm-hmm. see them. It's like, my life is so awful. I have floaters. sunspots, dark spots that you've burned into your eyes.
Oh, my God. And the thing is, even if I could stop eating by sunbathing / gazing for an hour a day, I'd rather just eat.
Food's good.
Food is pretty neat. I love a good food myself.
That could be a meditation in and of itself. Eating, you're focusing on one thing, nourishment.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, eating, the community feeling you can get of having a meal with somebody is definitely a sort of meditation, a sort of therapy.
Self-care, therapy, for sure.
Exactly, exactly. You're being good to yourself. You're giving your body nourishment. And there's certainly, you know, definitely a bunch of ways to be mindful about the things you put in your body to give you more clean energy, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to be an actual plant who practices photosynthesis is not one of them. We are not from the moon of Krypton, people. We don't get our power from the sun.
We're not Birdman either. We don't get our powers from the sun.
Not Birdman, not Superman, not any of those crazy comic book kooks.
Regrettably so. This is our this is our stock in life.
You know what I'd be, the problem with me would be, if I got into the sun gazing, I would have to bring some trail mix with. Like, I can't sit here for 40 minutes without a snack. Or break my concentration.
Something like, you're going to have to move because, man, another cloudy day in Scotty.
That's true. Yeah, no one in Wisconsin can be a sun gazer. That would be, you know, you'd get your rhythm thrown off quite a bit. Except on those super bright winter days that we have.
Oh, man. Reflecting off the lake and everything.
Yeah, you might get supercharged if you do some sun gazing in the Wisconsin winter.
Yeah. Did you see Dale? Yeah, he just flew over the house. Whoa. Sun gazing.
Oh, motherfucker put on a cape and start blasting off, said I gotta get closer to this bitch.
Gotta get it from the source, untouched by human hands, just like Fiji. Get that fresh sun.
But it made me really sad, the thing about his followers are such sad, lonely, insecure people.
Yeah, I mean, when you get down to that point in life, you want to believe that something could easily change it, easily fix it.
And there's so many healthier band-aids that you could apply to your philosophy.
For sure.
Than I'm going to burn my retinas out for an hour a day. Religion, you know, there's a ton of theocracies that and philosophies that you could read up on to get some perspective on your life. And maybe just go to the Y and join a club and get some, find some buddies, get that community aspect going.
Yeah. You know, that's what they're looking for, is the community aspect. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's like the underdog thing that they like, oh, sure. this is downtrodden just like I am.
Yeah.
And now I'm part of the greater downtrodden.
Right. And the feeling that everyone else is wrong and you're right, for that.
Pretty powerful.
Yeah, for that to be confirmed, for, you know, have a group of people supporting you in that, yeah, that can be powerful.
It's kind of the fallacy of the external enemy. If you're in a group and you're like, that's who we're fighting against. Really, the point of the group isn't to fight against your enemy. It's to come together.
Right.
You're distracting yourself when you focus on an external enemy. But I guess if it brings the group together, do what you gotta do.
There are, like, meditation apps that also have a community, like, forum aspect to them.
It's gotta be so easy these days.
Yeah, there's even the smoking cesspit that is Facebook.com. I know that there are 100, maybe 1,000, maybe 100,000 groups on there full of supportive people that want to share their hobby with others, and it's therapeutic.
Yeah.
I guess that brings me to a point. These fuckers just need a hobby. You know, these fuckers just got to watch some Thomas the Tank Engine reruns and wear Thomas the Tank Engine hat or whatever sweet hobby
might want. There's something for everybody out there. Get on Reddit. You'll find your folk.
Yeah, that's true. As much of a smoking cesspit that Reddit can be, there are lots of small to medium-sized Reddits that are absolutely lovely communities. Play a video game. That's, you know, that's worth burning your retinas out for. A sweet video game? Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They need to put Pong on the sun, then I'd stare at it.
Ooh, yeah. Bloop, bloop. Put the bouncing DVD logo on the sun. Stare for hours.
I think that's what they get naturally from the spots that develop.
Yeah.
They get their own internal DVD logo bouncing around.
So bad.
I have a review. Are we finished with these sun gazers?
We're finished with this special episode about the dangers of cults.
Yep. If we ever approach you asking to wear all white and come to our commune and pay us lots of money, forget this episode exists. We have your best intentions in mind. I have a review from Yelp. For Cops Frozen Custard in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I believe we've been here together.
Yeah, before the Brewers game.
Oh, that is right. Yeah. Lovely place, is it not?
Maybe it was after. I don't know.
One or the other.
It was Brewers game adjacent.
As it should be. If you want a hot place to go before or after the beer games, get yourself a burg, get yourself some custard. No better place in Milwaukee. But don't take it from me. Take it from Samantha P. Yelp Elite. They write, "The custard is hands down the best I've ever had." And there's a reason why their burgers are so popular. There is not one thing on the menu that's not good. Staff is patient and helpful, and food is delicious. The only thing that is kind of a bummer is the seating. There are only concrete benches outside, so it's difficult to eat at. Wish we had some tables so people could sit together comfortably. Besides that, it's the best custard I've ever had. 4 stars.
Bruh, I don't know. I kind of dug that. Mm-hmm. It felt like I was in a park.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of Milwaukee, and there's a giant pine tree, and you're sitting at a table under it.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
A bit of like a urban nature reserve feel.
Yeah. You just turn a corner and you're into a different world.
A world of enjoying burgers and custard with your friends.
Yeah, you have to process yourself through the glass and stainless steel cues to get your food. And then once more you return to the idyll of nature.
Yeah.
And greasy burgers.
What's better? What a better combo, am I right?
It was so good.
Yeah, I'm with you. That makes your statement makes me think, how many restaurants do you go to where you just sit in a booth? And I love a booth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A good booth is a home away from home for me. But I've sat at a lot of booths, you know? You can change it up a little bit and get this. You can just sit in your car with your friends and eat.
That you're sitting against the hood.
A little hood leaner?
Hood leaner. Do whatever you want. A nice day in Wisconsin is a nice day.
I think that's exactly it. Cops doesn't ask anything of you. They get you that custard. They get you that burger. And then do whatever the hell you want, all right? There's no assigned seating. There's just some cool concrete steps with some pretty trees. And get the hell out of our hair, would you? I think that's very Wisconsin. That's very, you know, to each their own type of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just couldn't believe she said it was the best burger she ever had, but she took a star off for seating.
Shameful.
I just can't relate.
Unless it's like anti sitting benches with spikes and stuff.
Then, you know, I'm gonna stand up. I'm gonna stand up for my right to enjoy a burger. Or I'll just sit in my car, my comfy little seat, get a little recline going so it slips on the gullet just right. Now I'm thinking about cops. You got to get me out of here, bud.
Get you to something that doesn't have anything to do with food, but stuff to do with sexuality. Do you want an Amazon review or an IMDb review? They're both things that we have seen and heard from before, but I found some extra juice.
Oh, we don't do an IMDb often. Why don't we go there?
All right. This is, once again, an IMDb review of the movie Play the Game, featuring old Andy Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
And some dirty words like horny and grandpa's horny.
Those are my two favorite dirty words, horny and grandpa's horny.
This is an IMDb review from B. Bergner. I think that's how it should be pronounced. B. Bergner. B. Bergner titles their review Fluff, Sort of Cute, and writes, "There were some cute parts to this film, and it really could have been funny if it was better written and better acted. Andy Griffith's role is over the top. His character would be much better played if it was more subtle and less crude. One added note. I don't expect everything in a movie to be accurate, But it is important to note that senior citizens can and do give STDs to each other. In fact, sexually transmitted diseases are high in many senior communities. This film clearly says seniors don't need to use protection. Big mistake.
That's it would true. Not,
it would not have hurt the movie in any way to get this point right. 4 out of 10.
You know, I especially with old movies, I'm not big on judging them beyond the scope of their creation. You know, there's many exceptions to that. You know, you do have to hold them to a standard. But I think that's a pretty good point.
Yeah, you know? This came out in 2009. We understand science.
Yeah, I think, you know, the AIDS epidemic was definitely happened. You know, STD knowledge is out there. But yeah, safe sex is just not for not having babies, folks. There's other applications. But yeah, them senior citizens be horny. You ever hear about that?
A little bit.
Ooh, that's a little wild.
Appears you have.
Yeah, I was I forget where, but Zach Fox was talking about it. And he had met this 60 or 70-year-old man who was explaining to him that sex doesn't get good until you're like 55.
Okay.
And he has traveled the world and had so many lovers of all ages, and it's always the age like fine wine, and Zach Fox, it was sort of the, you know, that they were going to die soon, but it's more than that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no expectations on the Bam Bam. There's sort of, we are here, you know, we are both two people confident in what they are and what they've done. And just like a hearty handshake, you know, let's just wham bam thank you ma'am and separate into the night as the wisps. And there's something beautiful and magical about that, the sort of confidence you can have with a lover in that situation that us youngins just can't understand, and maybe many people never come to understand.
Yeah, I guess we get attached.
Yeah, you know, I'm not one for polyamory personally. I have no judgment for anyone that is. I don't picture myself getting to retirement age and seeking out the craziest wham bam thank you ma'am of my life. I picture myself more, you know, staying to myself and maybe immersing into whatever the best MMO of the future there is until I wither away into dust. But hey, you know, sounds pretty neat. If you're going to spend your latter years getting laid and getting paid, so to speak, there's worse things to do with your time, isn't there?
There are, yeah. It just be safe with it.
That's, yeah.
You know, the grandkids want you around. They don't want to have to learn how horny grandpa got syphilis.
Even if you're shooting blanks, yeah, that puff of air might have a little siffy sus in it. That's the last thing you want to be explained to your doctor. Or maybe you do. Maybe there's some old dudes that want to, you know, go to their doctor and say, hey, doc,
got another one. They got that, I'm about to show you my butthole saunter. They drop trial. They say, hey, guess who?
Doc, I came with a present for you. Hands a box, wrapped a box. Doc unwraps it. It's a show me your butthole hat. Because doc, there's something crazy going on back there, buddy. You're going to have to check it out. Some kind of extraterrestrial action.
But it gets the ladies. They all want to see. And once they've seen, mm-mm.
Then we get a little bit mean, Doc, if you know what I mean. We seek out that cream, Doc, if you know what I mean.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and then you don't know where one wrinkle ends and another one begins, Doc. It's just a...
We're just like a god-awful beanbag of skin.
Me and Loretta, we're just a pile of amorphous goo becoming one another, Doc. Mr. Jenkins, you don't really need to explain your love life. I'm just here to help you with your... Doc, you don't understand...
give me five, Doc. Come on.
Doc, I am old and I am getting more tail than I ever have in my life. I was never a doctor. I worked at Circuit City. All right? This is just pretty cool. I just want to share it with somebody. Because Loretta's getting a little much, if you ask me. It was fun while it lasted, but I might be checking out of this home and checking out in another one pretty soon, if you know what I mean, Doc.
Catch my drift.
If you catch my drift, might be going on a little trip to Barcelona to see what the Spanish retirement homes have to offer. Caliente, Doc. Please, Mr. Jenkins, just let me go through the... Wait, Doctor. First, I have to tell you about ReviewParty.com. You've made it to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. I had some fun today.
I had a blast
talking about Mr. Jenkins' butthole. We got new episodes every Tuesday. That's right, hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. If you'd like to send an absurd or funny review for us to muse over, please send an email with a hyperlink to that review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com and include your name so we can throw you that credit.
If you would like to reach out to us and say, hey, boys, what's going on?
Hey, boys.
You can do exactly that on the social media platforms of the day. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at ReviewParty.com, on Twitter at ReviewPartyPod. And hey, I bet if you went to YouTube, you could also find some ReviewParty.com action just a simmering up, just a bubbling through your computer screen.
Bubbling.
And if you're not having any of that business, then just direct yourself to reviewparty.com. It's our website. It's where you can find all of the episodes, all of the blog posts, which happen to be about reviews. It's got the shop. It's got the sign up for the newsletter that pops up and says, hey, there's another episode and blog post. Check them out. Do those things.
You know what the best way to support your buddies at ReviewParty.com and also the easiest way? If you have a friend that likes comedy podcasts, why don't you let them know about us? Why don't you recommend them your favorite episode? We at ReviewParty.com are all about friendship, buddyhood.
Yes.
It's great to have an excuse to talk to your friend every week. So why don't you recommend them ReviewParty.com so you can go, hey, didn't Brent and Matt talk about buttholes a little bit too much this episode this week? And they'll say, I don't really think so. I really enjoyed the butthole talk myself. And then you have a rousing debate about buttholes. Sorry, Nosebleeds, they did our theme song, Bread for Breakfast. It's a cool song. They got lots of more cool songs. Look them up on Spotify, Nosebleeds. One word, you dictionary-less, illiterate heathens. Matt, do you have a review to finish us off, boss?
I have one hot, slick review from Google to finish us off. To finish this boss, baddie. It is a Google review for Omaha Beach.
The one with the World War II?
The one with the World War II. Not a beach in Omaha, Nebraska.
Not a beach with a lot of steaks on it.
Right. Not that. The non-smoker writes, this is nothing compared to Crusades. 1 star.
Weird flex, but okay.